Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
There's a song I want to do right now that reminds me of my grandmother, and you've heard me tell my story how she prayed me through. When I got saved, when I got delivered from drugs and alcohol, my grandmother, she told me, she said, there's a song I want you to learn. And when you come back to my church, I want you to sing it.
If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me
Oh God, my Father.
great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland with Pastor Sherrell. Let's talk about the things that affect the body of Christ in this world today and how we can truly impact the world. Enjoy the next song, and following that will be the voice of Pastor Sherrell live in Portland.
Although I may not know just what the future holds. I ask you to take all of me. When this life is through and I stand before you, Lord, all the things that seemed important, they won't matter anymore. So mold me with your hand into a vessel you can use for your service, Lord, that my life might count for you. Nothing back, I give myself to thee. Although I may not know just what the future holds, I ask you to take all of me.
Hallelujah. All of me. That's what God is asking of us, that we would surrender our all to him, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our intellect, even our emotions, a few, amen, our feelings, our flesh, and our emotions and our will. He wants us to submit it all to him, and he wants us to give all of us to him. Good evening to our listeners tonight. I am Pastor Kimberly Black. I'm here live, Portland, Oregon, bringing to you the Light of Portland broadcast on this first Sunday of February. To so many, it's Super Bowl Sunday. But how many of us are Super Bowl champions for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Scripture reading tonight says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Salah. We greet you tonight in the Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give honor tonight to Pastor Sherelle Pennington, our host for the Light of Portland broadcast, and to those that made it possible that we could have this platform here in the City of Roses, to the Elder Butterfield. We thank God for the Butterfields, their work that they're doing in the kingdom, to advance the kingdom of God, to spread the gospel throughout the United States. And we are just honored to be in partnership and covenant relationship with them together as we bring to you this Light of Portland radio broadcast. We also want to give honor to Archbishop Ruth Smith. We thank God for her leadership and for her stewardship that she provides to the body of Christ. We are truly blessed to have such a woman of God giving us guidance and giving us counsel and helping to ensure that we do all things decent and in order, and that we represent the body of Christ in the way that we are supposed to. So we thank God for each of them, their gift that they are to us, and we love them. We lift them up tonight, and we just salute them for the work that they're doing. I hope and pray that you continuously pray for them, the Butterfields and Archbishop, and that the Lord will allow his favor to continue to rest among them, dwell among them, and that they may continue to do ministry with the fervency and the passion that they have been functioning in. And I'm hoping and praying that that same energy, that same passion will flow through us. Tonight, we just would like to open up in a word of prayer before we get started. Gracious Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your loving kindness, Father. We thank you, O God, for your faithfulness towards us. When we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that you've done for us, our soul cries out, hallelujah. And we say, thank you, Lord, for saving us for such a time as this. We do realize, oh God, that we have much work to do. And Father, we ask tonight that you would anoint us afresh, that we may carry out the commission that you've commanded for us to go out into the highways and byways to compel men and women and boys and girls to observe all things. You asked us to teach them, Father, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray tonight, because we've gathered together and because we are anxiously awaiting to hear a rhema word from the man of God tonight, that you, Father, will allow the word to equip us, allow the word to encourage us, allow the word to give us direction, correction. Allow the word, Father, to open up opportunities for us, oh God, to be salt and light in this dark, evil, corrupt, perverted world. God, we thank you. Father, tonight we say you are good and your loving and your tender mercy endureth forever. Lord, we say you are good and your tender mercies endureth forever. Even in our bad days, Lord, you are good. Even when we don't understand, Lord, you are good. And so, Father, tonight we, your handmaid servants, we come together from the north, south, and the east, and the west just to give you praise, just to meditate upon your word, just to commune with the saints. God, we are not forsaking ourselves with the assembly of the saints. God, we're coming together, we're touching and agreeing together. And you promised, Father, that you would be in the midst when we come in your name. So, God, tonight we come in Jesus' name. We don't come in no other name. We come in the name of Jesus, because we know that in the name of Jesus, healing is coming forth. Deliverance is coming forth. Salvation is coming forth. Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come tonight. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to enter into the homes of your people. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to ride in the car with your people tonight. God, through this broadcast, Father, I pray that you would heal, deliver, and set free. Through this broadcast tonight, Father, I pray that you would wake us up, that we'll be busy being about our Father's business. Father, I pray tonight, through this broadcast, you would shake us. Shake us, Father, so that we'll go run and tell somebody of your goodness, of your mercy. Father, tonight we ask that you would bless all the hearers that are on this call tonight, Father. Give understanding, God. Give peace, give courage, give strength. God, we pray tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you, oh God, will bless our speaker, Minister James Wooten, tonight. God, I pray that you would fill him with your spirit right now, Father. Anoint him afresh right now, oh God. Let him hear from you right now, oh God.
because we need a right now word. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord, like only you can. Touch his mind, touch his heart, touch his lips, Lord. Touch his ears, Father, that he may hear your voice, that he may speak what thus saith the Lord. And God, touch our hearts and our ears and our minds, that we may receive what saith the Lord on tonight. God, will give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to make a few announcements tonight. I'm glad that you are on the line with us tonight. I'm excited that you decided to call in and share this hour with us. But I do have some announcements I want to share with the city of Portland. On Saturday, February 9th, amen, Saturday, February 9th, at the Emmanuel Church, Bishop C.T. Wells, Lady D'Angelo Wells, will be hosting Matters of the Heart. It's a weekend for women. On Saturday, beginning at 12 to 3, there will be a pamper and spa beauty treatment. And then on Sunday, there will be a worship service. Nevertheless, she persisted telling our stories. On Sunday, February 10th at 4 o'clock p.m., their guest speaker will be Karen Robinson from Kingwood, Texas, and Crystal Thornton. She is the radio personality from 104.1 The Fish. And so we want to encourage the women that are here in our city to go over to Emmanuel Church on this Saturday from 9 to 3 and then Sunday at 4 o'clock. Emmanuel Church is located at 1033 North Sumner Street, Portland, Oregon, 97217. Want to encourage you, my sisters, run, get there with the quickness. Everybody loves to be pampered. Everybody loves a spa day. Why not do it in the presence of the Lord with the anointing of God and some anointed women? Lady D will be excited that you're there. Let her know you heard it on the Light of Portland radio broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black and Pastor Sherelle Pennington. And then Saturday night at 5 o'clock, there will be a woman-to-woman panel discussion. This is for women. Their theme this time will be Woman, Wake Up. There will be guest speakers. There will be poetry. There will be breakout sessions. And there will be so much fun. This event will be held at the Miracles Club, 4200 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and parking is across the street. For information, please contact Danya Frazier. Her email address is he_zreal@yahoo.com. That's this Saturday, February 9th, 5 o'clock, at the Miracles Club, Woman to Woman. Woman, wake up. Saturday, February 16th, at the New Hope Missionary Baptist, and this is for all of my brethren that's on the line, there will be a community men's breakfast at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of Pastor J. Walter Hills II. New Hope is located at 3725 North Gantenbein. That will be Saturday, February 16th at 9 o'clock a.m. That's for all of the brethren. And then on Friday night, February 15th at 7 o'clock p.m., the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will kick off their 51st church anniversary. Woohoo! Amen. That's our sister church, and we will be in the house celebrating with Pastor Craig Brown and the St. Paul Church family. Pastor Collins from the Antioch Baptist Church right here at Portland, Oregon, will be their guest speaker on Friday. And then Sunday evening, the 17th at 3:30 p.m., Pastor Dana McClendon from the Greater New Bethel Church of Seattle, Washington, will be the guest speaker. I hope and pray that you would find the time to go out and show your faith and show your love and support to all of these churches that are doing things this month. We also want to remind you that this is Black History Month. One of the things that I've been saying at Greater St. Stephen's is Black history has made and is making American history. So let's not just celebrate in February. Let us celebrate 365 days of the year, our people who have shed blood, who are shedding blood, who have fought the fight, who are fighting the fight, that makes it possible so that we can vote, we can have rights, and we can make our voices heard. It's time for the body of Christ, when I'm talking about the African-American body of Christ, to wake up, rise up, stand up, and let our voice be heard. So this month at the Multnomah County Library in St. John's, they will be showing movies that highlight and uplift the Black experience in America. So the next movie will be Saturday the 9th. They will be showing Radiant Child. And then on the 16th, next Saturday, the Saturday after next, the 6th, they will be showing The Hate U Give. And then on the 23rd, they will be showing Bloodlight and Bambi, story documentary of Grace Jones. And so I want to encourage you, go online, look up your nearest library, because all month long they will be having special events, movies and authors and book readings. I saw one day this month they will be making African-American jewelry. And so just go online, look up your local library. There's Midtown, there's North Portland, there's Northeast Portland, there's Downtown, there's Southeast. So there's libraries all within our community. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, get in the community, see what's happening in the community, and then let's be a part of what's going on. My last and final announcement, on Sunday, February 17th, and this is for everybody that's on the call, because I am aware that we do have listeners on tonight from Georgia. We've got listeners on the line from Washington. So this announcement is for everybody. Amen. Everybody. Say everybody. This announcement for everybody. On Sunday, February 16th, it is Random Act of Kindness Day. Wow, did you know that we had a Random Act of Kindness Day? Well, this day has been set aside nationally, and it has grown to be very popular. It's celebrated by individuals, groups, and organizations nationwide to encourage acts of kindness. It is a favorite day for many, as people everywhere are enjoying doing acts of kindness. So I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to put that date on your calendar and then to do something intentionally on purpose for somebody you would not normally do something for. And then if you want to just bless your loved ones, go ahead and bless them too. But also remember what Jesus told us. He said, when you have fed those that are hungry, when you have clothed those that were naked, when you have visited those who were sick or incarcerated, you have done it as unto me. So let's be intentional. Let's allow our heart and the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us on the National Random Acts of Kindness Day, Sunday, February 17th. Those are our announcements, that you would govern yourself accordingly. If you have announcements that you would like to share with us, you can always email Pastor Sherelle at Flags of Worship, or you can email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. We would love to share your announcements. We would love to tell everyone what's going on in this city. We are so honored on tonight to have our very own Minister James Wooten with us. He will be our speaker for the hour. He will be breaking the bread of life. I hope you are ready. I hope you are excited to receive a word from the Lord on tonight. You do realize that our very life depends upon the word of God. We need the Lord in every situation of our lives. To get up out the bed, we need him. To walk across the room to make it to the bathroom, we need him. When we go out the door and get in the car or get on the bus, we need him. When we sit at the desk or we stand in the line at the bank, the grocery store, the doctor's office, we need him. And so he has made it possible that we can have him everywhere we go. When we hear the word of God, we meditate upon it, we study it, we can hide it in our hearts. And when we need it, we can just say, Lord, bring it to my remembrance. And before you know it, his word comes flowing from your belly like rivers of living water, giving us what we need. For he is an on-time God, an on-time God. So tonight, get ready, get ready, get ready to receive the man of God who is coming to us to preach the word of God, to bring us correction, to bring us direction, to give us motivation and inspiration. My brothers and my sisters, welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast, Minister James Wooten. He is a minister of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church under the leadership of our friend and our brother, Pastor Craig Brown. Good evening, Minister Wooten.
Good evening, Pastor Black. How are you? And hello to everyone out there listening to this broadcast.
Amen. We are blessed and highly favored. We are excited about what God is getting ready to say through you tonight, and we want you to be encouraged to do what you always do on this broadcast. Let the Lord use you. Let him have his way, and I turn the line over to you.
Amen, amen, amen. I just want to welcome everybody once again. We really appreciate you tuning in and you listening. Hopefully the word that's being brought forward tonight will be a word of encouragement to lift somebody up, will be a word of conviction to bring somebody back to him, will be a word that will be able to sustain you for the rest of the week, the rest of the month, the rest of the year. Hopefully it will be a word that turn around and work for you. Amen, amen, amen. I'm Elder Wooten from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, and our scripture this evening, we're coming out of the book of John, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11, if you wish to open your words and follow along and put a little marker down so you can go back to it later. That's John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. It's going to be the fourth book inside of the New Testament. And our heading today, theme, if you will, or title, is simply caught up. So just look at somebody in your presence and say, are you caught up? You know, it is so easy in today's day and age to become followers rather than leaders. It's always been harder to become a leader than it is to become a follower. Because when people have done it before, it's simply an easy process to do what's already been done. But to go out on a limb on your own and begin to do things that has never been done or go down a road that no one has dared to try or take, it's a little bit more difficult to blaze your own path. And so sometimes we find ourselves getting caught up in things that ends up not being to our benefit, that doesn't flow in the direction that God wants to take us. And so it's easy to get caught up in these things. And so in this story here, we read of a woman who was caught up. And so we're just going to go to the first verse and read down through these first 11 verses. So read along with us or just sit back and listen to the word. I'm coming out of the New International Version of the word of God, but every word of God, whatever your version may be, is the same word. It never changes. Amen? Amen. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus, somebody said, "But Jesus." But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who had heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This evening, the word just says simply caught up. Many times we find ourselves in situations that is not to our benefit, that we in hindsight look back and say, "I wish I hadn't made that move. I wish I hadn't did that turn. I wish I hadn't associated with that person. I wish I hadn't befriended this individual." We find ourselves just getting caught up in the process, in the hype of things, and we end up getting in over our heads. And so I want to just point out a few points to you this evening, but there's three things I want you to understand. That first of all, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin, secondly, will cost you more than you want to pay. And thirdly, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. So first off, I want you to understand, look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group." Now, they made her stand before the group. This wasn't her choice. This wasn't something that she had say in. This is what they did. And they put her before the group. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery." Now, first of all, I need you to understand one principle, and that's this. Do not rely on others to speak for you, okay? You need to know the word for yourself. You do not rely on others to speak for you. So if there's a point in this, the first one would be to know that word for yourself. Do not rely on others to speak for you. And so here this woman was brought in, and she wasn't given the opportunity to speak for herself. But they simply brought her in, and they threw her in front of Jesus. Now, I want to point this out, beloved, because you need to get this, is that it says the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. So it tells us who brought this woman in before Jesus. Now, you need to understand that this wasn't the police officers of the day. This wasn't the army. This wasn't anybody in the civil realm. This was the spiritual leaders of that day. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. This is why you have to know the word for yourself. Because too many times we as Christians, as believers in the body of Christ, rely too heavily on what someone else told us. And we don't learn and study the word for ourselves. And so we go, "Well, the pastor said this," or "the pastor said that." Yes, the pastor said it and showed you, but you ought to be researching and studying for yourself. Because if you have a relationship with God, it becomes a personal experience. It cannot be based off of only what the pastor told you. It can't be based off of only what you heard from mama, what you heard from grandparents, what you heard from somebody else that you know from down the street. it's important for you to go and read for yourself and then ask God to give you understanding so that and give you clarity so that you understand and can rightly divide the word of God for yourself and know for yourself the word of God, not relying on others to speak for you. Because if you allow others to speak for you and you don't know the word yourself, you can easily be misled. You can easily be diverted away from God. Because, and I give you this as exhibit A. Jesus, after coming out of the wilderness, wandering for 40 days and 40 nights, the scripture says that he was hungry. And he was hungry, and the enemy came to him. Satan himself came around and said to Jesus, he said, you know, you are the Son of God. You know, won't you turn these stones into bread? And Jesus turned around, and what did he do? He answered him, but he answered him with the word of God. He didn't answer him with what he thought. He didn't answer him with something that he heard from somebody else. But he went right to the word of God, which was his foundation. And he said that it is written, man should not live by bread alone. Then the enemy tried a second time. Let me tell you something, beloved. Your enemy doesn't just try once. Sometimes they'll come back a second time. And sometimes they'll come back a third time, in which Satan did in this case. The second time, he turned around and said to him, he took him to a high place and said, cast yourself off of this cliff. And then the enemy is cunning. He turned around and used scripture right there. He said, for it is written right here. He said, that not one hair on your head shall be harmed. But Jesus countered him with scripture again and said to him, but it is also written that thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. See, beloved, this is why you need to know the word for yourself and not rely upon others, because sometimes people can use the word of God and take it out of context and use it to manipulate you, to steer you in the direction that they want you to go, so that they can glean and pull from you the things that they want to glean and pull from you and mislead you. But if you are in tune with the Spirit of the living God, then you know what the Word of God says, and you're able to combat with the Word of God. He says that I will fight for you. When the enemy comes, I will not leave you nor forsake you, but I will always be right there with you, fighting with you. You are never alone, beloved. I know some of you might be in your midnight hour experience. I know some of you might find yourself in that dark alley. I know some of you might have found yourself where you in a closet experience, and it seems like people are shining lights in your dark places. And so you're worried about what may be exposed. You're worried about what may be told or the misunderstanding that people may have. And so you find yourself struggling and struggling with this, and you find yourself, you think you are by yourself, so you're searching for answers and looking for ways and to combat it. I tell you right then and there, just stop where you are, fall on your knees, look up above to him, to the hills from which cometh your help in Christ Jesus, and call out his name. And I guarantee you, he will show up, and he will show out on your behalf. You need to allow God to speak to you like Jesus allowed God to speak for him. Yet the enemy turned around and, not being discouraged twice, came back a third time and said to him, says, well, I tell you what, look at all these vast things in front of you. Look how the waters are laid out, how beautiful and splendid they are. Look at the majestic mountains, and look at this beautiful valley, and look at all of these things that are growing here. He says, I'll give you all of these things if you would just bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan. See, sometimes you got to separate yourself from those that don't mean you any good. And I got news for you, beloved. Sometimes some of those folks that don't mean you any good, they might be the ones that's closest to you. They could be related to you. They could be family. They could be the ones that you call friends. See, sometimes God is trying to elevate you to the next level, and the people that you're associating with, they don't have the right ingredients to go to the level that God is trying to elevate you to. So he will allow things to take place to show you what their true character and their true nature is, so that you can begin to separate yourself from those kinds of people, so that you can go in the direction that God is trying to trend you to. But beloved, stay with me here, because but sometimes we hold on to the wrong stuff. See, this is that part of sin will take you further than you want to go. And so because of the fact that we get caught up in this experience and we don't know the word and for ourselves, but that we rely upon others, then it puts a dependency upon others. I'll ask Pastor next Sunday, I'll call my deacon tomorrow and see what they say. Beloved, you need to get in the word yourself. And when you don't know, consult God first and allow him to steer you to the right ones that will turn around, and they will be in line with the word that God has told you. Because God is not the author of confusion. So allow him to meditate his word within your spirit and let you know. And so this woman was standing there, and the teachers brought her. She didn't have any say. And I imagine as this woman was standing in the presence of God, this woman was half dressed, half her clothes was ripped off because they just snatched her up out of her condition and brought her in front of everybody to parade her in front of everybody regardless of how she looked. See, that's the way sin is. Sin will turn around and parade you in front of everybody, and it'll get what it want to glean out of the situation, and doesn't care how you are affected, that it'll turn around and bring you out and just expose you. But let me tell you something. You've got a God that is a comforter. You have a God that is a sustainer. You have a God that is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. You have a God that is Jehovah Rapha. You have a God that is Jehovah Nissi. You have a God that is Jehovah Shalom. He is the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. In other words, you got a God that will fight for you. You have a God that will stand in the gap when you can't stand for yourself. And so look at this, beloved. And Jesus said to them in verse 4, as they said, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And they tried to quote the law in verse 5 by saying that the law of Moses commanded them to stone such women. And then they said to him, now what do you say? But if you look at Jesus' response right here, beloved, before he began to say something, it said that Jesus began to bend down and he started to write on the ground. Now, beloved, you need to watch this, because sometimes you need to learn when to speak, and sometimes you need to learn when to be still, because you need to allow God to be able to work in the midst of the process. And so he began to write on the ground. Now, all of a sudden, as he's writing on the ground and he's writing something, they looked at him, and the crowd is silent, and all the eyes begin to shift on Christ, and they looked at him intently. They looked at him with an intention that says, all right, now what do you say? And it caused these leaders to speak up and be more vocal. They're like, hey, man, did you hear what he said to you? Now, what do you say? And Jesus gently looked up to them. And then he said, when they kept on questioning him, I love how he straightened up and he said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. You guys, you just missed it. He said, let anyone be the first to throw a stone at her. See, in verse 5 and verse 6, you got to understand that now, as in verse 4, where it was telling us to not rely upon others to speak for us, but to know for ourselves the word of God, here, this is letting us know why you need to know for yourself the word of God. Because right now, you got spiritual praises that was coming in this list, and they had ungodly intentions. If that's a second point for you, just look at your neighbor and say, someone has ungodly intentions. And they had ungodly intentions. You see, this is that part where not only will sin take you further than you want to go, but this is the part where sin now will cost you more than you want to pay. And so they had ungodly intentions. They didn't care about this woman standing in front of Jesus. They didn't care about how embarrassed she was or how exposed she was. They didn't care about what was going on in this woman's life, what her crisis was, what she was dealing with. See, you got people out there, their intentions is not to your benefit. They don't care about what you're going through. They don't want to listen to your story so they can figure out how to manipulate you to the best of their ability to get what they want to get, to further their cause, to take them where they want to go. You got to be well, beloved, but this is why you got to know the word for yourself, so you can see the pretenders from the contenders. Because there's some people out there pretending to be children of God and follow the word. And then you need to be able to separate those that are pretending to those that are contending for God. They're out there fighting the good fight. They're out there pressing on toward the mark that is the high calling in Christ Jesus. You need to understand that God didn't call us to stand idly by and let others speak for us, because he wanted us to understand and know for ourselves, so that when the enemy comes, you are prepared for whatever he throws at you. And in the law, Moses commanded, his command was not only for the woman to be stoned if caught in the act of adultery, but in this woman's case, beloved, it also says that if this woman was a virgin stature, then God was to deal with this woman directly himself. But if this woman was caught indeed in the act of adultery, and she had been out there doing this before, then not only was the woman to be brought, but the man was supposed to be brought as well. So they only brought half of this situation to Jesus. They really didn't want to resolve this or solve this. They only wanted to use this as a basis for accusing him in order to try to set a trap and snare. See, you got to watch out for folks that want to snare you, because the closer you get to God, the more you are growing in Christ, you're going to have folks that's in the world. They're not going to like the fact that you are turning away from the world and you are turning to God, that you've given up drinking, that you've given up smoking, that you've given up lying, that you've given up fornication, that you've given up adultery, that you've given up prostitution, you've given up the drugs, you've given up all of these things, and that you're turning around and you're saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, use me. See, your misery loves company. And so there are folks out there that they want to have company, they have ungodly intentions, and they want to bring you down with them because they love to have some company with them. This is where that sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And it might sound good or seem good in the midst of when you're doing it. It might taste good. But then as it begins to go in the by and by, it begins to wane and wear off and leaves you groggy with a headache and other intentions in the next morning. And then it begins to leave you confused, and you begin to feel the after effects of things that happen. So Jesus began to pause for a moment in the scripture. And the reason he paused, beloved, was simply so that he could take the eyes of everyone off of the woman that was caught in adultery and refocus those eyes upon him. See, this is God fighting for you. He knows where you are and sees the struggles you're going through. He knows exactly what is on you. And so he turned around and he said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Give me your sins. And he said, watch and see, will I not work on your behalf? So he turned around and he, by pausing, he causes all the eyes to shift to him. Now they're no longer looking at the woman. And then he looks up and he straightens up and he says to them, let anyone is without sin cast the first stone at this woman. And then, I love this, beloved, look at this. And here's the third and final point right here. I need you to understand, be still and wait on the Lord. Did you catch that? See, I wanted to pause right there so you can have time to think about what I just said. Be still and wait on the Lord. See, this is the third part. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. And so verse 7 says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, let anyone of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. But watch this. Look at verse 8. It said, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Now, the first time some scholars believe when Jesus was writing on the ground, as he was diverting the attention away from the woman, Jesus was perhaps writing on the ground each of them that was standing there that had brought the woman, and they were trying to get this woman accused, that he was writing their names, and beside their names, he began to write some sins that they were doing right there in the dirt. And then when he stooped down a second time after giving them his response, some scholars say that he began to write across, right across them, even to let them know that the forgiveness was for them too, even though they were there trying to expose this woman's sin. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that loves every single person. We serve a God that fights for each and every one of us. And so he turned around and he answered them, and it says that at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first. And I stopped there and I said, wait a minute. Why did the older ones go first until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there? Why did the older ones go first? Then I got to thinking about that, and I got to praying on that, and then we said, wait a minute. The reason the older ones went first is because, as Mama used to tell us, is that when you were the older sibling, you did something, you would get it worse than the younger ones, because she said you knew better. She said you knew better of what to do, even if they didn't know. She said you're supposed to be setting the example. So the older ones dropped their stones and they walked away because they knew better. And yet here this woman was still standing there, and so then the younger ones looked around and saw what the older ones doing, and then they went away too. See, they had gotten caught up. They didn't even know why they was there. Didn't even know why they was picking up the stone, because they had not studied the word for themselves. But all of a sudden, they were doing what the crowd was there. See, we find ourselves when we begin to be followers, we begin to do what the crowd is doing. We begin to follow the crowd when they're talking about somebody at work. We join in the laughter and we laugh at folks when they're ridiculing somebody in the school. We walk down the halls and we make fun of the jokes or how they dress, not thinking about the effects that it would have on somebody. But we do what everybody else is doing. You know what they say? You know, you do what the monkey says do. And so we follow what everybody else is doing. But I tell you today, beloved, that we need to learn to follow the words of Christ. We need to learn to follow Jesus. Look all the way to the cross. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You cannot come by following somebody. You got to come on your own. It has to be an individual thing. It cannot be a group mentality. It cannot be team oriented. It cannot be family oriented. But it has to be an individual thing, because when you can go to God and let him remove the plank out of your eye, then you can see clearly to help your brother remove the plank out of their eye. But the blind can't just simply lead the blind. So we need to be still and wait on the Lord, and understand that when we start sometimes, it's not about you answering. You may not have the answer and know what you need to say. Sometimes you got to just stop and allow God to speak on your behalf. Like when Jesus was taken to that high place and the enemy said to him, he said to him, bow down to me and worship me. And he said, I'll give you everything that's lying before you. How many of you know that the devil is a liar, that he's a deceiver? How can you give God what's already his? How can you give God what he created already? See, that's how he want to come and manipulate you. And he'll do it through those when you are not walking woke and you're simply in them fell asleep and you're not paying attention. People will come and turn around and they'll slicker you, they'll bamboozle you, they'll hoodwink you, and get you to follow what they want you to do by turning on, bringing stuff up, reminding you of favors they've done, reminding you of how long he's been there, kind of guilt tripping you, and then you falling for the trap that they laid. But I tell you here, beloved, in closing, that you need to look to the hills from whence cometh your help, because your help comes from the Lord. And when Jesus had got done, he doesn't leave anything unfinished. When it was all gone in verse 10, it said Jesus straightened up and he asked her, he said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you yet?" She looked down and she lifted up her eyes and she looked upon the master and she said, "No one, sir." She said, "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave that life of sin." God tells you just that easy, that it's not a complicated process. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he is Lord, ye shall be saved. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What a word on tonight. Caught up. Are you caught up? Amen. I hope and pray that you were taking notes, amen, because I truly were taking notes. One of the things I just want to remind us, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no big sin and there's no little sin. But what Minister Wooten said tonight, he said sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. I hope and pray that we are not getting caught up in the wrong things, but we're being caught up in Jesus. Amen. Minister Wooten, thank you so much for that powerful, awesome word on tonight. We pray that God will restore you, that God will strengthen you, that God will give you peace, and that he will continue to speak to you, that you may continue to speak to the body of Christ, to equip the saints, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand. Thank you so much for that word on tonight from St. John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Caught up. He started his message off tonight with the question, are you caught up? And if you are caught up, guess what? Jesus is right there in your home. He's
Amen.
Right there. He's right there, ready to receive you. All you have to do is open up your heart, open up your mouth, and say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. I welcome
Hallelujah.
You into my life. Come into my heart now, O God. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, creating me a clean
yes,
heart,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
I believe that God gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for the remission of my sins. And today, you, my brother, my sister, are saved. You have been bought with
yes,
a price.
Yes,
you
Lord.
No longer have to
Jesus.
Live in the sin that you were caught up in. But now you can live in the life that Christ has caught you up to live in. Minister Wooten, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that word. We truly thank God, amen, for that word. And I'm going to ask Minister Wooten if you would just pray for those tonight, the Lord is their Savior. I ask that you would pray, because I'm sure there's somebody, they might not have called to listen. Maybe somebody in the house got it on and they ear hustling and they heard the word on tonight. So I'm asking you to pray for them on tonight. Amen. That God will
reach
their heart.
Amen.
God will speak to their heart.
Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you for your anointing this evening. Father, we thank you because you had said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And when we are at our depth and we are at our worst, that's when you are at your best. When we can't go further, you will carry us and see us through. And I believe that if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Amen. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus right now that if anyone under the sound of my voice in this broadcast have heard this word and says, you know what, Lord, I done tried everything else. I done did everything else. I done went every way. It's time that I try you, Father. I've been caught up for quite some time, but I tell you right now that Jesus believes in new beginnings, in second chances, in do-overs, in restarts, whatever your case may be. Come unto him, all ye that are weak, weary, and heavy laden. Allow him to give you rest. And for those of you that says, Lord, come into my life this evening, be my God. I tell you today that you didn't get in your situation overnight, that the Lord understands that. But this is the very start and the beginning of turning that corner and saying, Lord, be in my life. Manifest yourself in me. I want to be your child and allow others to see you through me. And I tell you right now that instantly, if you was to walk out the door, if you've accepted Christ and you was to get hit by a thunder or lightning or a car, that you are forgiven and you are restored by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That doesn't mean that you're going to be a perfect person tomorrow, that you're going to go out and you're going to be doing all of these things tomorrow that on the other side. But allow God now to be able to minister to you. Take one thing at a time, one struggle at a time, whether it's lying, stealing, cheating, whatever it is. One thing, pray to God, give it to him. And when I say give it to him, pray on it and then give it to him and then have faith and you believe as if he heard you, he's going to answer it in this time. He'll say, yes, no, I'm late. And you release it to him and don't pray on it again. But have faith that it's already done. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you've heard this prayer, you've accepted God into your life, and you've asked God to be a part of your life and be your Savior, whether you were listening intentionally or unintentionally, I pray that the Spirit of God reach you where you are and allow him to begin to change you. Not man, not anybody else, but him to begin to change you. But look to the hills from whence cometh your help in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. We thank God for Minister Wooten, his word on tonight to each of us. I hope and pray that you were blessed and that you were encouraged and inspired by the word on tonight. Please do us a favor. Please give this phone number to somebody. Let them know that every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, they can tune in and hear some good preaching. We know people that are in nursing homes. We know people that are shut in who can't make it out to Sunday morning service or Wednesday night service, and they need the connection to hear other people preaching and teaching the Word of God. I want to challenge you tonight. Share this phone number with somebody you know so that they can call in next Sunday and be on the line with us for the Light of Portland radio broadcast. On behalf of Pastor Sherelle Pennington and myself, Pastor Kimberly Black, we say to you, may God bless you. May he richly bless you. May his favor and his grace be upon you. May you continue to pour out the salt and turn on the light, for these are the last and evil days, and God has called us for such a time as this. So I pray tonight that the Lord will bless thee and keep thee. May his face shine upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Thank you for calling in tonight. Thank you for being a part of the Light of Portland broadcast. Have a blessed night and have a great week.